Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Today we are on location here at the Minnesota State Fair, recording live from the Great Minnesota Get-Together. A few weeks ago, we had a Air National Guard Chiefs Roundtable, and it went so well that I thought I'd repeat that show and have a General Officer Roundtable. And then according to my production manager, Colton, he said we need to be careful not do it for the whole show, so we get 10 minutes to do a GO Roundtable. And so joining me here out at the State Fair is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey, the Assistant Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Joanna Clyborn, and my dear friend, the former director of the Army National Guard, Lieutenant General, can't say retired yet.
Four more days,
Lieutenant General John Jensen. Generals, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's awesome.
Thanks, Doug.
Command Sergeant Major, thanks for hosting us today, and what a great day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Yeah, so, you know, I was very serious when I said we get a very short amount of time here together.
Yeah, I remember when I used to get 10 minutes just for myself.
Yes.
Now I'm sharing it with two other people. I guess that's what retirement's all about, isn't it?
It is, and then a little bit later on, we're going to bring Cindy in here, and we'll do 10 minutes with the two of you, but you're only going to get 30 seconds of
that's
that.
Right.
So that's just the way this is going to go.
That's kind of the way it is.
Yes.
We know who's in charge at work.
Well, as the Adjutant General of Minnesota, you're hosting us here today. You're doing this great event out here. We're here on Military Appreciation Day, honoring our spouses. So in a little bit, we're going to bring in each of your spouses to get to know them a little bit. But General Mankey, I want to just start with you, and maybe you can just tell us a little bit, how are things going in the Minnesota National Guard, and what kind of report do you have for our listening audience?
Yeah, so hey, thanks, Command Sergeant Major. I think first and foremost, you know, the priority remain the same, and the number one priority is our people. So I'm happy to say that our end strength is doing well. We're kind of bucking the trend at about 107% strength on the Army and just over 100 on the Air Guard. And second priority, modernization. We're on the list to modernize our J model C-130s, modernize two J model C-130s, and then the Army's been very good at modernizing us as a National Guard. The 34th Infantry Division deployed overseas. Operation Spartan Shield and Operation Inherent Resolve, they're modernizing in contact. So a lot of training, a lot of new stuff coming their way, as well as our 1st Armor Brigade Combat Team here, literally brand new M1A1 tanks, as well as Cascaded Bradleys, which are a new version. And, you know, we recently modernized our Paladins. You know, new weapon as well, new individual weapons coming our way. So, you know, the Army has been really good at modernizing the National Guard proportionally as they modernize. So we're interoperable and whatnot. And on the Air Guard, you know, we're making progress there as well as continuing to modernize our facilities. You know, the state's building us an ACFT facility at Arden Hill so that we can train the ACFT in all climates. And then Camp Ripley continues to modernize. We're going to have a new entry control point up there eventually that we have funding for. So it's times are good as far as that. And then lastly, our partnerships, you know, and thank you for the partnership we have with the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're able to tell our story and get things out, as well as the partnerships we have, you know, going strong with Croatia and Norway, as well as our interagency partners here in the state with the State Patrol, Department of Natural Resources, and other interagency players, as well as the community relationships that we continue to move forward with each and every day.
A ton of stuff going on, and I want to come over here to Major General Joanna Clyborn. You're in uniform today, but I understand that, you know, in a few number of days, you'll be having a ceremony to officially retire from the Minnesota National Guard. So congratulations on that, and maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit about how your career has been and then what you have to look forward to in retirement.
Well, I can't say when I started at 17 as a private I ever see myself as a two-star major general, but, you know, here we are. It has gone well. It's had its ups and downs, but I have been incredibly blessed with really strong leaders, great non-commissioned officers and mentors who have helped me reach the heights of the pinnacle of my career. I am retiring after 35 years of military service, so come September 8th, I will no longer be wearing this uniform. And I'm looking forward to the next chapter. I would be nice to have an ability to focus on one job instead of the 2 to 3 that I've been running for the last couple of years. I look forward to spending some more time with my spouse, whether he wants to spend time with me or not.
Well, we'll ask him that question when he comes on.
Hopefully it's a positive answer. And, of course, I'm going to be able to focus more on my employment with my law firm, and my partners are very excited about having me back full-time at the office.
Yeah, I know that we've talked off and on, and you know we run into each other at different events, and you know you're coming or going. And but you know it's the needs of the military, and speaking of the needs of the military, one of the needs of our Army National Guard was to steal the previous adjutant general and bring him out to the become the director of the National Guard Bureau, the Army National Guard. And so Lieutenant General, soon to be retired in 4 days, John Jensen, welcome back to Minnesota.
Yeah,
after
thanks.
4 years out in D.C. and the great things that you're doing, and What can we expect out of you once you officially hang it up in 4 days? Wait, are they going to recall you? Is there any chance of that? Or what's going to happen there?
Well, the CSA has threatened twice to recall me. I've indicated that, you know, with my bad shoulder, my knee, maybe I'm not the best guy to recall.
Yeah. And your hearing is going too.
I'm sorry, what did you
exactly.
say?
Exactly. So what's next for you? I know you've done a ton of work on the house. So you're coming back. You're going to reside in Minnesota. Yeah. What else can we expect out of you?
Well, just being back is just a great blessing for Cindy and I. We were so excited to be back here in Minnesota. And as you mentioned, you know, 4 years ago we left. What made that decision easy to make was the great leadership team that we had in place. You know, so, you know, I was never worried. You know, Sean just talked about all the great things that the Minnesota National Guard's doing, both in the Army and the Air. And, you know, it's leadership like Sean and like Joe Clyburn here. That just gave me all the confidence in the world that I could go out there and not worry about Minnesota. And then you go out there and you, quite frankly, you see the 54, if you will, the 50 states, 3 territories, and District of Columbia, and you realize what a great place the Minnesota National Guard's at. But it is all about strength, right? And and Sean briefed how we're doing, and you know, so that's recruiting and retention of our soldiers and airmen, and the leadership team here understands that, they get that. So we're just going to come back, try to contribute. As we can, keep our head down maybe through the holidays, and then after we get after the first of the year, you know, go figure something out. But right now it's just meeting, getting reacquainted with our good friends, and spending time at events like the State Fair, which I miss so much.
Well, that's awesome. So General Mankey, you know, obviously, you came in after General Jensen as the adjutant general. We know he did a great deal for setting up the state. He goes out to be the director, and now he's leaving. But it's not like you've lost allies. I mean, you have this great network of other adjutants generals to work together and provide some of that guidance to the new guy coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, much like the adjutant general, I mean, the work that General Jensen did, the work that General Nash did before him, General Shelton before that, it's an institution, right? And the seeds that General Jensen has planted as a director and the seeds that his predecessor planted, both as, you know, as the adjutant general and as a director, are stuff that we cultivate, we water, and we continue to grow, maybe throw up our few seeds in, but He had a great team out there at the Bureau, and he still does. And, you know, Lieutenant General Stubbs as well. And, you know, I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, I agree. He's a great leader.
Yep.
Yeah, John Stubbs, a good man.
Yep. So I think, you know, I don't think there's going to be any radical changes. You know, obviously, you get a new person behind the steering wheel, things change a little bit, which is good, right?
Yeah.
It's good to have a little bit of transition, someone come in, take another look at things. But I think we're in a good place for the Army National Guard as a whole, and I think he will continue to pick up where General Jensen left off.
And General Clyburn, you know, after 35 years, right, is that what you said?
It is.
35 years. You've seen a lot of things change over the course of your career. And, you know, maybe like in 45 seconds or so, I mean, is there something that you think has just changed the most from when you were a 17-year-old young kid joining into where you are now as a 2-star, other than your rank changing as a military force?
Well, I think a couple of things. Specifically, the opportunities that are available, regardless of the gender, regardless of your background, that just weren't an opportunity when I first turned 17. And additionally, I think the focus on the well-being and the holistic approach now we take of our service members, not just to whether they're trained and equipped and ready, but we're looking at the entire aspect of their lives and how to ensure that they're healthy and balanced, that their families are taken care of. I've seen a huge transformation over the last 35 years that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what we're going to do now to set the stage, so to speak, is we'll take a break. General Mankey, we're going to come back in with you. You're going to bring your wife, Mary, in, and then we're going to introduce General Clyborne and her husband, Duncan, and then General Jensen and his wife, Cindy, will come back and we'll wrap up the show.
Are you sure you want to do that?
Hey, when's Lori coming on, Doug?
I tried to get Lori on, but she doesn't want anything to do with
I'll
this.
I'll give my spot
maybe
up to Lori.
Maybe you can convince her.
Gentlemen, so. I'm just going to right now apologize, and I'm probably good that I'm retiring soon when Duncan gets on.
Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, recording on location out here at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota get-together. And for this segment, I thought it'd be nice because it is the spouse appreciation theme out here on Military Appreciation Day. And what better way to appreciate our spouses than bring a couple of them on the radio, even though they were reluctant. General Mankey, the Adjutant General here of the Minnesota National Guard, sir, you were able to convince your wife to come in and spend some time with us here so we can get to know her. If you would please introduce your spouse to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, I promised I would get her both a Pronto Pup and a cold beer this year as opposed to one or the other.
So. Oh, you know, you are a nice guy. Yeah.
Hey, Command Sergeant Major, thanks for having us on. And you know, so Mary and I have been together really since before I came in the Army, before my commissioning, and we have been married for 33 years. You know, she's weathered my deployments to Operation Provide Comfort, to Kosovo, and then later to Iraq, and raised, really been the anchor for our children, to a son and a daughter. And, you know, my better half, supportive not only of me, but the all of our service members, both Air Guard, Army Guard, and our time in active duty, and really a leader for families, I think, and I think a role model for other spouses to emulate. So I'm glad that she took the time to be with us today, and I'm extremely grateful that we've been able to share 33 years of our life together.
All right, Mary, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
Glad that you're here, and I know that I didn't have to twist your arm so much.
Not too
although
much.
I think Cindy Jensen had to kind of convince you a little bit too, right?
Well, if Cindy was doing it, then I
you had to do it.
Right.
And so we only have a short amount of time, and I really want to make sure that we get the opportunity to just kind of talk to you and honor you as a spouse of the military. And I want to start off and just, you know, 33 years, and there had to have been some challenges over the years relating to his military career, and I wonder if you might be able to share some of that with us.
Well, I suppose when you really think about it, some of those deployments are, you know, the most challenging. But before we had kids, we were over in Germany, and he would leave for three months, but it ended up 4 months all the time, and it doesn't sound like that long, but you have no one over there, so you just rely on everyone else who's in the same boat, and you just get together with people and say, hey, what are you having for supper? I'm coming over. So that, and then once we had kids and he had to leave, I mean, you know, missing family events, some of the kids' milestone events. So that's hard, you know, to tell them, it's okay, I'm here, you know. So I know it's hard for him, but too, when the kids, when he leaves and they're crying, you know, I have to say, okay, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be the mom and kind of pick them up a little bit. And then we work through it. And I had my moments with my battle buddies, and we could complain there and cry there. So.
And I think they're definitely the heavier lifters, the families are. You know, when during a deployment especially, they do so much more than the service members, because the service members, frankly, are just focused on doing the mission.
Yeah, and then I think that's why it's great to have organizations like, you know, our Yellow Ribbon Networks and other entities that take care of our families that are back home. And so when you all got married, he was already serving. right? Or at least when you got together, when you first started your relationship.
He was in ROTC when we started dating, and I was in Winona. He was in North Dakota. So when he commissioned, I was there, and then we got married in July, and then we went off to Alabama. Our honeymoon was the
drive
down to Fort Rucker, Alabama, for him to start flight school. So that was
my
our big,
gosh.
That's kind of the big joke.
So did you think back then, 33 whatever years ago, that, you know, you would go through this, you'd have this long of a career in the military? I suppose a thought of the adjutant general or you being married to a two-star general.
Didn't even know what that was.
Yeah, right. but still, you obviously said, yeah, I think I'll still marry this guy, even though we got this crazy military thing coming up.
It was kind of like, I'm going. You coming with me? I'm like, yeah.
It was a milestone. So either we're going to get married and do this together, or we're going to probably go our separate ways. So.
Well, I'm glad that you all decided to get married and go together. And so, you know, we talk about challenges, right? The deployments and being away from the kids. But there had to be some things along the way that have just been, like, just completely rewarding for you, just great memories or experiences. What can you share as it relates to the good stuff? Because I don't want to focus on the bad stuff.
No, and I was kind of thinking through challenges and the rewards, kind of pros and cons. I mean, the rewards just kept on going and going. I was thinking, I mean, just the travel that we were able to do over in Germany that we probably wouldn't have. The travel my parents and Sean's parents were able to come join us there. The friendships that we have, you know, around the country and around the world, actually. And now with this role, again, we get to meet different people from joint forces and stuff.
Different states, different,
and just get involved. I mean, now it's probably a different role where I'm getting more involved, and I'm like the spreader of, you know, news or asking about programs. We have this, right, don't we? You know, kind of thing, and just trying to.
So you get to do quite a bit of traveling with him in his official capacity, too?
I do
or events,
like the
anyway.
Conferences and stuff and events like that. So, we get to do that. And the kids, too, when they were younger, you know, we went to the big picnic in the summertime, and we just tried to get them involved. I've flown in a Blackhawk before. Sean couldn't be the pilot, but... And now our son is.
You would have tried to show off too much or something.
Yeah,
right. I might have pushed her out. No,
yeah,
no,
hey. So you've got 33 plus years under your belt as a military spouse, a great career that he's had, and you've had a great career with him as well. Great experiences, a few challenges, but like you said, your list of memories and the good stuff far outweighs that. But there's somebody out there that is listening to the program right now. And they're brand new married military spouse. What advice do you give to that person as they're just starting off, not only what might be a military career, but more importantly, a military spouse's involvement in career with their service member?
I think you definitely have to get involved. You have to keep on asking your spouse, like, who do I need to contact? Or even get the name of the commander or senior NCO, and they just need to get involved. And it's hard sometimes to put yourself out there, but the more events you attend, you know, whether you only see these people sometimes 3-4 times a year, but that's what I kept doing. And then you kind of find some people that you connect with, and so then it's kind of a exciting time to go back to those conferences and stuff. So I think the number one thing is be involved and show your support. You know, so ask about your job and, show up at work.
Right. You know, and I know you already said it, General Mankey, that the family has the hardest job. But, you know, the hard part for me as a service member, and I think you'll attest to this, is if you don't have that support network at home, you're not going to be able to focus and succeed. Yeah. And so that causes, I think, sometimes our military members to leave because they don't have that support network, or they stay and then it causes problems at home.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are really fortunate here in Minnesota. You know, you talked about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. We have other family programs. you know, we have the Serving Our Troops organization. There is just example after example of people who are willing to help our families out, especially when we're deployed or whatnot. You know, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. I mean, there's just, the list goes on and on. And, you know, that's one of the priorities, partnerships and really letting those people serve that way, because they don't wear the uniform, but they're serving the public by, you know, supporting not only the Minnesota National Guard, but really all the service members and veterans in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got 45 seconds left. And Mary, I just want to say thanks so much for, one, coming on Minnesota Military Radio and just talking to us a little bit, for being a tremendous military spouse, for a wonderful person in our Adjutant General here for the Minnesota National Guard. Thanks for the continued support you provide him and to our Minnesota National Guard, both our Army and our airmen. And in general, thanks so much for spending time with us. I hope you both enjoy the rest of the fair, and you get to get both things today. He already said it.
Yes.
So Prono Pup and a beer. All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, recording on location out here at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair. Continuing our theme here, we're talking to military spouses. It is Military Appreciation Day, honoring military spouses. And Major General Joanna Clyborn is here. She was in the first segment on the GO Roundtable, and we really want to bring her back in so we can get to know her husband a little bit. And General, welcome back onto Minnesota Military Radio. And I wonder if you could please do a kind introduction, or at least an introduction, of your husband for us.
Well, yeah, since you put that pre-qualifier in front of it. Absolutely. It's my pleasure, actually, to have with me today my husband, Duncan Clyborn, my center in bedrock and the support system for all I do.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, Duncan, I shouldn't ask you this question, but I will come to you. Ma'am, how long have you been married?
We've been married almost 30 years.
Okay, all right. See, I'm trying to protect you, Duncan.
I just say I've been married as long as I've been happy.
Oh, my goodness. God. Wow, this is, you know what, this is a great setup. This is a really good, great setup, because the first question I want to ask for you or to you is, all right, 30 years, you've been married. What are some of those common misconceptions that people might have about being a military spouse?
Well, that I'm in the military is the most common one. And
what do you mean? Expand on that.
Well, you frequently wear on a uniform, and we get introduced. The next thing you know, someone like wants to recruit me into like disabled American veterans or local associations, and I'm like, well, I'm not the service member. She's still in. You want to talk to her?
Okay.
And so it's. There's so many different organizations to support the military that it's a challenge to figure which ones you want to support. So, but so they're constantly trying to talk to us about recruiting and try to get us involved in the local events. And we have to remind them, no, she's the real service member.
Yeah, but you did serve.
Oh, yeah. I was a lieutenant when we met at Fort Leonard.
Okay. And then, so how many years did you serve?
About 10.
13.
I enlisted in Minnesota.
Okay.
But I only in the reserves. I wasn't smart enough to go National Guard. And then I went to West Point for 4 years.
Okay.
And then I was 10 years active service.
Okay. And then were you still serving then when you all got married?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, I was a lieutenant at Fort Leonard Wood, and she just enlisted.
We almost didn't get married because the Army changed our wedding date 3 times.
Correction, it was the Air Force commanding officer that changed the wedding date 3 times. The Army didn't do that.
There may have been a threat that if he changed it one more time that he was marrying the Army, not me.
Yeah, and I was scared. I was all the way 800 miles west of Hawaii, and I was still scared. I was like, okay, don't move this wedding. Don't do this. He's like, Lieutenant Clyburn, or Captain Clyburn.
Well, so that's an interesting thing then, because so you're serving, or both of you are serving, and but at some point in time, there was a decision that was made, right? Because it might have been difficult, especially if you were going to start to raise a family, maybe to have both of you serving. So I'm just wondering, Duncan, like how did General Clyburn, Joanna's service, her career impact you, your life, your family life?
I wouldn't say it negative or affected us. And in fact, some things were advantageous, like when you went to the school in Boston, where I was able to ask my company to move me there. But I was serving two things were happening. The military is downsizing. I was getting out.
Okay.
We also had a baby, and we were like, well, do we want to risk both of us serving in, say, the National Guard or the Reserves? And we didn't. So I got out completely, and she felt that her career was just taking off, and yeah, it was. So Captain Clyburn, Joe Clyburn, stayed in, and I got out, and, well, baby likes me best, but I think it's a great
story. Is that true?
Well, let's just say when I was in Iraq, the one time I got a call from home that was a little distressing, apparently he cannot make omelets the way mommy makes them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
see.
And he can't brush the hair the same way mommy was brushing it.
You were too rough, weren't you?
Well, I was just doing everything wrong. Like, mommy's omelets don't look like that, Daddy. Like, okay. Tomorrow you learn to make an omelet with me. But it was fun. We have an incredible support group. She has an incredible support group. And I'm actually 2 miles from my mom's house. But the military family, I was out there to take care of each other. And I was lucky in that her deployments, I didn't need a lot of support. But it was nice to still be a member of the family support group because I need support or if someone needed to call me.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously over the number of years, you guys made the decision that she was going to keep on serving. And it worked out pretty well, I would say.
Yeah.
But when you... You know, when you guys are early on in your careers, you're married. Did you think that some 30 years later, she'd be a two-star general and you would be that person that's supporting her and her career and taking care of things at the home front?
Oh, no way. You see, I went to West Point, which means that's where you go if you want to be a general officer. I found out there's a much better way is to find a better woman than yourself and get married to her, and then you become have the general
And you were
officer,
so worried about what kind of responses he's going to have
we're
during
not
this
done
interview.
With the radio broadcast
oh,
yet,
okay.
Sergeant.
There's still some opportunity here.
But, I mean, seriously, you joined to be a lieutenant, you joined to serve your country, you joined to do the exciting things. But at that point, I was also making decisions, do I want to be a member of this military, to use the word bureaucracy, for a career? And I didn't. But she was just starting her career. There's about 8 years difference between us.
Well, people can't see the look you guys just got, but just suffice it to say it was kind of neat.
So I never said, well, I actually, until she was colonel, because when you're on the active duty side, everyone's kind of expected to retire at 20 years colonel stage. Well, National Guard and Reserve is very different. You have these dual careers in the civilian world, and you have your military career. And it's very common for people to be enlisted and then say, hey, I'm going to go to OCS, and I'm going to go on and become an officer. And you could have a 30-year career. That's what Joanna did. So when she was a colonel, we were like, okay, it's the end of her career. Yay. And my name becomes first again. Yay. But then she got promoted, and then she got in command, and then she got promoted again, and so it, for me, it was always a fun experience.
Yeah.
Because I always had incredible support from members both of the National Guard and from family. But
he doesn't believe I'm retiring. Every time I tell him this is the end, we add three more years to it for some reason.
Well, she's also, you know, expect the worst, and then if something good happens, it'll be a pleasant surprise. So gets colonel. Oh, I didn't expect that. Kind of nice. Hey, you're going to Command General Staff College. Oh, that's kind of nice. Oh, you've been selected for residency.
And you know what all that means because, you know, you spent some time in tracking the military lifestyle. So, you know, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really want to hear from you about some of those rewarding things, right? I mean, so it's crazy, right? She's off to school, a deployment here, a lot of different things happening. But there had to be some fun stuff, some rewarding moments in this career, things that you were able to benefit of because of her service.
Well, there's some little things. Like when she went to Boston for a year of residency, I was able to talk to Mike for War College. I was able to talk to my company and say, hey, we got an office in Connecticut. Can I go out there for a year and still be with my wife? So that was wonderful.
That's nice.
I was able to first of all, the company for being so generous and doing so, but secondly, that it allowed us to stay as a family, and our daughter got to see Boston. But I think for me, it sounds interesting, but there's a lot of burdens on the soldiers, particularly. So every time she did something special, it became like this relief at the end of it. Like OCS, I remember seeing her go through all that stress and supporting each other through that. So when it was under, it was almost like a celebration for me. And then when she went on and went on to schools. They were very accommodating in some of the commands she was in to give her some active duty schools and see command time and help with the family support groups and all these other things that we're doing were rewarding because I got to. And I also got to do things like I get to go listen to her give speeches.
Yeah.
And then all these fans come up and talk to her and say, oh, thank you for her speech. It was motivational. It was so lovely. And they are, but I just feel it as, oh, that's a good speech. But these women are like, oh, wow, that was so beautiful. I'm crying now. And I'm like, wow, I guess she's kind of neat. And so I enjoyed those experiences. And just allowed one of the things if you wouldn't leave the military is you're going to say, well, what are you going to miss? Well, you're going to miss the soldiers.
Yeah.
But you're also going to miss this feeling of accomplishment and that you're doing something worthwhile. And I was able to keep with that by being associated with Joanna.
And I imagine being able to see the reward when behind the scenes you see the struggles, right? I mean, because it's the late nights, it's the prep, it's the this, it's the that, to get ready to do whatever that next thing is. So that's got to be really rewarding for you as well.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't do the work, but I get to accept and enjoy her accomplishments.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Duncan, thanks for coming on Minnesota Military Radio, sharing your experiences. We really appreciate it. And General Clyburn, good luck in retirement, and hopefully we get you back on the show and we can spend a little bit more time talking about you. But today is about spouses, so we appreciate you, and thanks for your service. Duncan, thanks for your service. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, recording on location out here at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota get-together, continuing our conversation, meeting some military spouses, and Lieutenant General John Jensen, who most recently served as the director of the Army National Guard, is sitting here, just a great fan of the show. We love having you on the show, and it's just wonderful to see you. So welcome again back to Minnesota.
And yep.
Welcome to the radio program. So I know that you were just talking about in the first segment, the round table, you know, you're accustomed to getting a lot more time to spend with us on the radio show. But we really want to focus on the spouses.
Cool. Yeah.
John who? but, sir, if you wouldn't mind, could you please introduce us to your lovely bride?
Yeah, my lovely wife of 32 years, Cindy Jensen. She started dating Staff Sergeant John Jensen, married First Lieutenant John Jensen, and here we are 32 years later as a couple, three beautiful children, Jake, Atlee, and Keely, and we're so excited to be back in Minnesota, aren't we, babe?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. So you met him as an enlisted guy, married him as an officer. Now, did you really know what the difference was there? Or did you like, man, this is going to be a good deal for me?
I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah,
she noticed the paycheck change. I mean, let's be honest.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? That was actually a pretty nice paycheck change too, right? Yeah. And things have been pretty good. So you all just moved back from D.C. and you know, and I want to talk about that a little bit because, you know, becoming the director of the Army National Guard, obviously the position's not here in Minnesota anymore. It's out in Washington, D.C. So you get to go out to that crazy city. But, you know, so you up and move. You've got a support network of friends, people you've gotten to know over the years here in Minnesota where you guys reside. What did you do to stay connected and just kind of, you know, maintain some of those strong relationships, not only with the people back here, but then with him when he's out doing all these crazy traveling events and things like that to take care of our Army National Guard?
Well, fortunately, I was able to travel with him somewhat, which was kind of a treat because a lot of the events that he did were enjoyable to go with him to. But I also had a network of other military spouses that I got together with monthly and then on other occasions as well. So that was really helpful to have those friends or that network in place when I was there. So,
and those aren't just necessarily National Guard spouses because you're General Jensen, you're dealing with, you know, the joint forces now out in D.C. You're having interactions with your Air Force brothers and sisters.
Well, I remember the Army Spouses Group was really important. Maria McConville was General McConville's wife. He was Chief of Staff at the time. Maria was incredibly open and welcoming. And then Diane Lowe, the wife of the director of the Air National Guard, Mike Lowe, she was awesome as well.
Yeah, so it's great to, you know, you kind of get thrown into it. You got to get to know these people because you probably get out there, and on day one, he's already trying to, you know, they're doing the data dump, and you're like,
COVID.
And it was COVID, yeah. Right. So yeah. You got to, you know, kind of get someone to introduce you to things and show you around. But, okay, so you got this great network. People are, you know, welcoming you. You still got stuff going on back home. But I want to know about, you know, some 30 years ago or whatever it was when you married Lieutenant Jensen, you had an idea or a thought of what the military was like. And here you are now. He's a almost retired in 4 days, three-star general. That's a pretty big difference. How has your perspective changed about military lifestyle over this span of his career?
Oh, that's a tough question because that's a lot of years. So initially, of course, he was gone quite a bit when the kids were young. But as the years went on and when he became adjutant general, I felt like I was more of a partner in it than I had prior to that. And so when we went out to D.C., it felt good to kind of be a team to show support for the Guard and to represent. So it was nice to be able to do that together.
And so did you kind of find yourself becoming a little bit more vocal about the service? You know, like, you know, Mary talked about that when I was when we were talking to her, just, you know, kind of being out in front a little bit more, you know, hey, do we have this? Can we support that? You know, did you kind of bring some of those things in because of all of the other interactions you're having? Because I'm assuming at events that you're at with him, the other military members are going to him. But yeah. Spouses are probably coming to you.
Yeah, and that's where Maria Macombo was a great help with that because there were some things when I still didn't have a whole lot of experience or knowledge about. And so she was able to kind of just take me aside and kind of make me a little bit more comfortable with that because yeah. I'd never really been in the front answering questions or being as involved as I was out there. So she was very helpful with that.
And as you think over the course of your military career, his service, you got to do some fun stuff, the traveling. Is there anything that you can think back on where you're like, you know, this was one of the best things ever. This was extremely rewarding or, you know, some experience where you're like, because of this, I got to do this and this was just an awesome thing.
Well, I would have to say the D.C. Experience because it just opened up so much more than I had really realized before, was able to be involved with before that. And it was just a great 4 years we met some amazing people. We got to host some incredible people. And so I made a lot of good connections and I know some lifelong friends for sure.
And when he decided to put his name in the hat for the director position, were you totally on board with him doing that?
Yeah, or? I think so. Yeah.
She was the one that convinced me to do it, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah, I was very unsure about it. And her point to me was, I can't believe you would serve this long, work this hard, and then when you get an opportunity like this, not do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sounds like I'm blaming her, but I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying that she's always very, very encouraging of me to stretch my boundaries and try something new and not be afraid.
So one of the things that General Jensen, you and I, we joke about, and there's some truth in it, but we joke that, you know, the best part about going to Kuwait is leaving Kuwait. I'm just wondering if the best part of going to D.C. is leaving D.C.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we loved D.C. We loved our experience. D.C. is my favorite town in the United States outside of Minnesota. I mean, we talked about this, and we, you know, a year ago, we were back here specifically this time of the year, and our 2 weeks that we spent back in Minnesota reconfirmed us of the decision that we'd already made, that coming back to Minnesota was the decision that was best for us. And so we're so ecstatic to be back here. We're so happy to be back here. We're not looking forward to winter, but we'll get through. Yeah, all you got to do is get through one. Then,
there you
right?
go, yeah.
Right?
So it's old hat.
So we're like rookies all over
yeah.
again.
Yeah. So, Cindy, you know, you guys are back. He's retiring officially in 4 days. Do you have a laundry list of things that he needs to now do? Because he's retired. He's not working.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have something to do with filling his days. But fortunately, we knocked out quite a bit of the honeydew list prior to moving back. So the list is a little shorter.
We paid for that list to get worked. Yeah.
Did you pay Jake? I bet you your kids are happy to have you back.
Yeah.
I know that we are. Obviously, we're friends outside of this. And, you know, it's just good to have you back in Minnesota, the opportunity to get together and, you know, do some fun things, right? Hang out with our friends from the Serving Our Troops organizations and go support those organizations that support us in our military.
Absolutely.
And I see you're wearing your Skinner's Pub t-shirt today, so you're sporting that. And Cindy, I'll just leave this last one to you. You know, it's been a great career, and the honeydew list is done, but what are you now most looking forward to post-retirement?
I think having them all to myself.
And Sully. Yeah, that's the dog,
he's
right?
Always part of the pack. But I think just seeing him kind of make decisions and how he wants to spend his time instead of, you know, it being relegated to him. But I think that'll be nice to just watch him do whatever he wants to do. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, Cindy and General Jensen, just wonderful to have you back on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate you coming in and Cindy sharing some information with us about your experience as a military spouse.
Yeah,
so thank you for your service. And General Jensen, thank you for your service.
Appreciate everything you do.
You
and Colton both, thanks for what you're doing for our military community and our veterans community as well.
We absolutely love it. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week when we're back in the studio for a conversation with the MDVA about domiciliary care and hear about the University of Minnesota ROTC program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.